Hallelujah. So, making my request known, getting into a place of thanksgiving, rejoicing, and then walking in that peace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, turn to Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to show you some things here. Because a lot of times people don't understand why things are happening in their life. But Jesus gave us a parable. It's called the parable of the sower. And he said, if you don't understand this parable, how do you understand all the other parables? There's some keys that he has revealed to us that show us what go on in the unseen realm. He shows it to us, plain and simple. All right, let's look at, we're going to start looking at verse number 19. But I want you to notice here that there's four major weapons that are formed against your faith. There are four weapons that are formed against your faith, or I'm going to say four different ways that Satan can bring attack in your life in this setting right here. All right, in verse number 19, he says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Now notice that he's going to talk about four different types of soil, and he's talking about the seed and what happens to it when it hits those different types of soil. That soil or that ground represents your heart. So what he said here, that one of Satan's first tools is ignorance. If he can keep you from understanding what you hear, then he can dominate you.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Hello, I'm Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I'd like to tell you about my new book titled Praying Colossians 1. I'm excited about this new book because it teaches you how to pray the Colossians 1 prayer in a way that is practical, insightful, and relevant for our lives today and guaranteed to get results. You will pray the perfect will of God and be able to put into practice the principles that are outlined in this prayer. You will also increase your faith and experience a closer walk with the Lord. Your prayer life will never be the same again. To obtain your copy of my new book, Praying Colossians 1, go to our website, www.thewordcc.com or amazon.com. Or you can obtain a copy by calling 318-442-8100, and we'll get it sent to you right away. The book is available for $7.95. Order your copy today, Praying Colossians 1. Thank you, and may God richly bless you.
K-A-Y-T, 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. K-A-Y-T, 88.1 FM.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord.
Get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful privilege to hear your word today, to have you speak to our hearts, God. And as you do, we pray that the Holy Ghost would take this truth and that he would tailor this truth, that every hearer's heart might not only hear you, but heed you. And, oh God, we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise for the principles you shall reveal unto us today, that we might practice them and receive the profit. And we thank you in advance for what you shall do by way of the preaching, teaching ministry of the Holy Ghost in this word and your people this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. If you turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 4. I want to commence reading at verse 13. Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 13.
All right.
Recorded on these words. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject. We've got Jesus, and we're not ashamed of that. We've got Jesus, and we're not ashamed of that. My brothers and sisters, if you look at this story, if you back up to the third chapter, and you'll see how this story unfolds and why they're so upset and why they're trying to keep Peter and John from speaking in the power of this name of Jesus. There was a man there who was over 40 years old who had been brought to the gate called Beautiful. Let me begin at verse 1 of the third chapter and bring you up to speed. Look at what it says. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour or 3 o'clock. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms or to beg for money of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Verse 7 says, "And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he," the man who was once crippled, "leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising," Peter and John? No. Praising God. "And all the people saw him walking and praising God." These were some of the people who walked by him in the temple who weren't leaping and praising God. And they don't know what happened. They just know a little while later, here he comes in the temple, and he's not walking like they're walking. He is leaping and jumping and praising God. See, that's why sometimes, my brothers and sisters, you don't know why folks shout and why they jump and why they rejoice. Your issues may not have been their issues, and your problems might not have been their problems, and you don't know what the Lord has done for them. So we need to be careful how we judge spiritual matters in the house of the Lord. So here now, the man has come in and he's jumping and he's leaping and praising God. And the word says, verse 9, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Now they were wondering, they saw him there, they've been seeing him for days, weeks, months, and years, and they were wondering why now, all of a sudden, here he is entering into the temple, and he is leaping and jumping and rejoicing and praising God. They're wondering what happened, they're wondering how it happened, and they're wondering when it happened. Now listen to this, because the Bible says in verse 11, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John. Now they held him to get him up. Now once he got up, he held them. I'm trying to tell you, when the Lord touches you, there ought to be a change in your life. Listen at this, because I want you to see this word. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God had raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Now listen to that Peter talk. Now he bold right here. This is the same one who let a few little girls scare. This is before he's been touched, filled with the Holy Ghost and anointed of God. Listen at the boldness of his speech now. He's telling them what he was afraid to say once before. Verse 16, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it. He's saying, I wish through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. That's vainness, foolishness, and nothingness. Now look at the fourth chapter, because now it gets more intensified. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved. For what purpose? That they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now look at this, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees, they came upon Peter and John to overthrow them, to keep them from educating, to keep from enlightening, to keep from bringing them to a point of understanding the truths of God. Now it's sad, my brothers and sisters, when the church don't want you to know the truth. It's sad when the chief priests, the rulers, the Sadducees, the religious community want to hide the truth that changes and transforms lives just because they were not operating in the truth and people had seen the truth operational. They then desired and wanted more of it. They were in amazement and marveled because they had never seen what they had seen at church like this before. And so the people who were denying the power thereof and the people who were supposed to be the ones who were promoting the truth of God, the way of God, the word of God, and the will of God were those who had their own agenda and did not want to see the truth come through like it did because it would change the way that they had been operating. But here was the problem, my brothers and sisters. They saw truth in action. They saw faith in action. They saw believers in action, and they saw God's word in action. And that probably had been one of the few times that they too had seen the move of God actually operating in someone who was willing to believe him for his word. Now, this truth that was to be taught, because people were hungering for the truth, they wanted to know the manifestation of God's power in their lives. They wanted to know what it was to be in right relationship and fellowship with God. And as these men began to preach this truth came by Jesus Christ. But they didn't want Jesus preach because they were at the forefront of having him crucified. So to admit that Jesus was the Son of God would be to admit that they were wrong. To admit that Jesus was the Son of God and the one that God would be saving men through would be again to admit that they had killed the wrong man. To admit that Jesus was the right one would be to say that the Messiah had come and they missed him. So rather than Jesus being lifted up, he was already still kept down by them in their spirit and in their proclamation and in the so-called truth that they presented to the people. Listen at this again. I want you to see this. The Bible says, verse 2, being grieved that they taught the people. See, a whole lot of folk get grieved when they're not taught. But then there are some people get grieved when other people are taught. Because it means you can't stay in ignorance when you're taught. You see, you can go on and say, I don't know because nobody has taught me. But then once somebody teaches you, then you're responsible for what you've been taught. And you see, that's why the enemy would love for us to just sit here and hoop and holler and scream all day long and moan with a sweet moan and a beautiful tone and don't tell you how to live this gospel when you get outside those doors, but make you feel good for just a couple of hours and you walk out of here ignorant like you did when you came in about the truth of God's word. Oh, don't get me wrong. There ain't nothing wrong with a little hoop and a little holler. Especially if you got something to hoop and holler about. But that's the thing, you ought to have something to hoop and holler about. Somebody said, what you shouting about? You ought to be able to tell him why you're shouting. You ought to be able to tell him he's so good to me. And then tell him what he's done for you. But to be able to go into church and have a good time and can't tell folk why you are shouting suggests that you're shouting for the wrong reasons. Look at verse 3. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. Listen now. And the number of the men was about 5,000. Now look at Peter, under the influence of the Holy Ghost, preaching with authority, boldness, and with power. John is right there, and they're ministering the word, and they're preaching this word. And of all those persons who heard from this message, about 5,000 believed. Now, that's a powerful altar call. When you preach Jesus with the boldness of God's power, and 5,000 folk come up and say, I believe. Now listen at this, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the high priest, and the captain of the temple, all of these people who were around and in the crowd and in the midst of what Peter and John was preaching heard this word and saw the response to this word. Yes, sir. Yeah. And they know sooner or later they were going to be cleaned out because these boys were preaching right. And not only, you're going to see later, not only were they preaching, but they were showing the fact that what they were preaching is real. Listen to this word again. Verse 5, and it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified. Peter said, y'all just gave me a chance to preach again now. I'm glad you asked me to tell my story. Whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. They thought they had seen the last of Jesus, heard the last of Jesus, but what they didn't know was Jesus was more alive and his spirit was in these men who had witnessed his crucifixion and knew of his resurrection and now his ascension. But the Holy Ghost had come and was on the inside of them now, and greater was he on the inside of them than they that were in the world. And so they're preaching with power now. Listen at this word. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Listen to what he said. Verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Can I tell you, being with Jesus will give you something seminaries won't give you. Don't get me wrong. College and school is necessary for the polishing. But if you ain't even got the shoe, what good is the polishing? Took knowledge that they were unlearned and ignorant men by their standards. Have no degrees on no walls. You were not learned and schooled in proper schools and tutelages. How can you speak with authority and show with divine favor and power the works that you would? It marveled them so much so that they knew these men had not matriculated through nobody's school of higher learning. But I got news for you. All the old folk used to say, you can go to college and you can go to school, but without Jesus, you're just an educated fool. They knew something that these folk did not know. They looked among the scholars and they looked among those of the elite, and they knew that there was something obviously that these men had that their schools had not produced. Oh, my brothers and sisters, they took notice. Yes, sir. The record is they took knowledge. Somebody don't hear me here. Now, how are you going to take knowledge from ignorant and unlearned men? I'll back it up again. How are you going to take knowledge from folk who ain't got no knowledge? Oh, y'all ain't getting it. Y'all aren't getting it. Y'all aren't getting it. Couldn't you see the professor take notes? Listen to what they're saying. I'm going to have to try and teach this in my class. But I'm here to tell you, you can't teach what you don't know. And they had not experienced what these men had experienced because they had not been with Jesus like these men had been with Jesus. So listen at this, my brothers and sisters. The word says, verse 14, and beholding the man on top of that, which was healed, standing with them. Now here, if you need some proof that Jesus is real and that his power is still alive, here's the man that was laid outside of the butte a gate called Beautiful for better than 40 years now, and people knew him. He was a fixture of the gates temple, if you will. Every time the doors were open there, he was laid so that he could beg for some help and support. So people knew him by association, by being at the gate called Beautiful, but none of them could ever do what Peter and John did. Some of them gave money, but they couldn't give mobility. Some of them gave him their sympathy, but they couldn't offer him a savior. Some of them were able to give their assistance, but they couldn't give him the assurance he needed that there was going to be a better day, like Peter and John did. And look at this word the Bible says, verse 16. Well, verse 14. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Couldn't say a word. That's when they're looking and can't find. Now listen to this. Verse 15 says, but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny. Listen at this. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. This name was causing trouble, and this name was stirring up stuff, and this name was turning towns that were upside down, backside right. This name was causing folk who were crippled to become whole again. This name was calling those who were dumb and could not speak to speak again. This name was calling blind eyes back to sight. This name was causing people who had been demonically depressed to become delivered and set free. This name was stirring up some stuff that they did not want stirred up in their town. May I tell you, my brothers and sisters, you got some people who are happy with stuff stale, dry, and dead. But when you want to change, you need to call on the name Jesus, who can make a difference in the hearts and the lives of the believers. Touch your neighbor and say, do you know the name Jesus? Come on, you touch him like you scared him. Touch the other name and say, do you know the name Jesus? Ah, listen at this. Listen. Verse 18 says, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. I don't hear you mention his name. The name of Jesus will no longer leave from your lips. You can't teach about him. You can't even talk about him. That's what they said. That's right. No more. Listen, verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you decide. But look at what they say. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I said I wasn't gonna tell nobody. I know y'all are in authority and I've got to respect your position and all, but I know we've been commissioned by Christ to speak the things he has shown us and shared with us. And if I could, I couldn't keep it to myself. We've been commanded, don't say nothing. You know, I'm trying to tell you, my brothers and sisters, people who know the power, even though they may not have experienced it in themselves, they've experienced it by some part of their existence, and they know that there's power in that name. And when they don't want things shook up, they don't want you to call on that name. They don't want you to say nothing about that name. They want you to sit there and be a good little church mouse. Keep your voices down. Don't lift up, don't take all of that. But I'm here to tell you, if you know that when you call that name, something happens, you will learn to open up your mouth and say, Jesus! The old saints say, I love to call that name. Something about that name. Oh, listen, if you will. I want to show you something else. When you see this word, verse 20, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I want to do the right thing. But then the question becomes, what is the right thing? To shut up because you